Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. We are taking it here. What's happening Friday here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, U.S. Open going on. Sans Tiger, which we'll get to in a minute here. Obviously, the Kawhi stuff took us pretty far in the first hour. Shaq joins us next hour, next segment. Marvin Bagley could be could go first, could go second, could go third.
Yes, and no extra periods in World Cup golf. No extra time.
World Cup golf. Oh, soccer?
In group play. No extra time in group play.
So what does that mean?
That means they end 3-3.
That sucks.
I know, that's what I said. I was getting ready to flip it on, too.
Oh, man. All right. So we do this inside Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. All right. Tiger Woods. Did not play very well at all. It's a real buzzkill, isn't it?
It is.
It's a buzzkill. It started ominously on Monday. On Thursday. Where, you know, paired up with Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. And, you know, DJ's obviously balling. He's atop the board. But, you know, I remember watching it at home. They all hit three irons, or they each hit an iron. They were all about a buck 52 right in that neighborhood. And all three missed the green with whatever it was, an eight or a nine iron. It was pretty windy, so they may have used an eight. But Tiger just didn't recover. It took him five shots to get on the green.
Yeah.
He got a seven, and then he bogeyed the next hole. And while he stabilized it for a while, he just couldn't get it going. Today, he got dealt some poor cards in terms of weather, where it was rainy. And then the second group, the afternoon group, it's far less blustery, and it's certainly a little more sunny out there. I mean, I was watching this morning. This coverage started on Fox at 10, and I had the Golf Channel on a little bit before that to get some of the snippets, the pop-ins in and out. I mean, it looked like the British champion. It looked like the British Open.
Yeah.
It was sideways.
I know. It was bad, it makes it hard. Now, to Tiger's credit, he actually played pretty good considering he was only two over today, which is not a horrible par, you know, to the round as everybody else that's out there. But it was that first day. We saw it at the end of our show. He got on to, what was it, 15 or no, 13. He just jacked it way past the cup, had to come back to get bogey. He missed that one as well. I had to settle for a double bogey. Then he gets on 14. He's way up in the junk. And then duck hooks it down to the other side of the bunker. I mean, he's playing army golf. He's playing like I would play, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
hit it all the way to the right, hit it all the way to the left. Maybe you get
on the
green.
Don't see your playing partners for 13 minutes because they're on the other side of the course.
No doubt.
Right?
They're dialing it at the cup and waiting
for
it.
Bring my putter.
Exactly.
How many times have you said that?
Oh, my Lord.
Yo, Dano, grab my wedge.
Exactly.
Dan, grab my Frank. Grab my putter.
After 14, I put him at eight over. And, you know, right in between that, BT and I were trying to determine, Tiger's going to make the cut? Is he not going to make the cut? Tiger going to make the cut? He's not going to make the cut.
You said he wouldn't.
If he bogeys his hole, he's not going to make the cut. He double bogeyed that hole. BT amended his statement.
I changed it.
And we don't think Tiger's going to make the cut. And it's a shame, too, because it felt like if he was going to have a chance, I think this year to win a major, he would have to play really good in this one. And we know what happened at the Masters. He started poorly, but then he charged back.
Yes, he did.
And it was, man, he really has that it that he always had in major tournaments. It's still there. This gives me pause now about whether he can rally mentally, emotionally, not the physical side, because I think he's okay, even though he may tell us his back was sore or something like that. But the emotional eye of the tiger thing, I feel like it's lost for this season now because of this. I mean, this is
why am I not surprised how easily swayed you are?
I mean,
for somebody who didn't jump on the train early,
he's not going to make the cut.
Of course, you're going to get off early. I'm not mildly surprised at this.
Right.
Not even mildly surprised.
I wasn't even on. I was just like, that was the hanging on for the ride.
You were grabbing your Metro card, but you weren't quite swiping.
I was jogging along with it, ready to just let go as soon as I get.
Like an old French movie from like 1920s. I hear you. Meanwhile, I was driving I was in the caboose. I was just not the caboose. I was driving the train, and I was full throttle. I am not deterred in my my belief, I'm not even really remotely like compromised or even slightly motivated to revise my very positive outlook for Tiger Woods moving forward. And I'll tell you why. Like baseball, golf is really a sport of failure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is.
No, of course.
It is. I mean, Rory McIlroy shot an 80 opening round. 80. Phil Mickelson, he's probably not going to make the cut. He's terrible today. He's all over the map. He shot plus 7 yesterday. It was awful. And I watched, I would say, because not every hole was on TV, but because he started a little bit early today, 8:04, I think it was, 8:02, whatever it was, and the coverage started at 10, as I said. So I got to see almost every swing Tiger took, except the 2 hours we didn't have coverage this morning. And, Teak, every time Dustin Johnson hit a driver, and every time Tiger hit a driver, he was right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't power.
No.
It ain't distance.
No.
It ain't burst.
No.
And I do think, while you can really frame this strongly one of two ways, you could say, hey, listen, all the enthusiasm that you had for Tiger Woods and the comeback and the speed, his swing speed, the ball velocity, mm-hmm. all the numbers that I leaned on early in his comeback that certainly supported that his back was healthy, that is offset by the fact that right now he finished, you know, this could change, 90th at the U.S. Open this year and 32nd at the Masters. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Relative to him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Really, relative to anybody that's ranked inside the top 25 or top 30.
Yeah, which he's not.
That's
right
very
now,
disappointing.
Yeah, because he's played so long.
Sure, it's disappointing. Snippets at the Memorial for sure. Snippets at TPC Sawgrass. Snippets at Wells Fargo a little less. You were out there. What where'd you go with Rondé? What tournament?
Oh, the Valspar.
The Valspar.
Yeah,
the Honda.
Down at Innisbrook.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't ignore the fact that this guy was crushing the ball and was on a birdie binge for a good part of the early summer.
Okay, but BT,
I can't ignore that. I saw what he did.
I know, but the problem is in golf, to win tournaments and really especially to win majors, you got to put it together day after day after day after day.
Now, no question.
He almost got away with it. One of those, he almost got away with it, where he stormed back. Remember, he got within a couple shots of the lead, and I can't remember which tournament it was. He moved up to 11 under.
That. Go ahead. I remember
but there was one of those where he didn't play great, and he stormed back, and he put it together day after day after day. He was just too far, too much ground to make up on mm-hmm. the eventual winner, and it slipped my mind who it was. But for the most part, it hasn't been that. It's
because
been
it was the players, by the way.
Yeah, you're right. It was the players.
Sawgrass.
So, but other than that, it's been one horrible day, one okay day.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a great day, but then it's an average day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Tiger doesn't have that. I don't know what it is. It might be physical. It might be part physical, which is affecting him mentally. I mean, he gets a little bit stiff and tight, and he's never fully loose. Because I remember at the Players, he had to take the break, right? He took the they had a rain delay or weather delay.
He had
the
6-foot putt for birdie.
Exactly. He came back and he
sounded the horn. He missed it.
He missed it. And so, in old days, in Tiger days,
yeah.
That's money, man.
That's a mere gnat that just flies in your face and you brush it away.
He could have left the quarter there for 2 days and come back and drilled that. You know what I mean? And so that's not there in him any longer. And especially being able to put it together day after day after day after day for four straight days, it's just not in him. And to win on tour and to win majors nowadays with all of the competition with the DJs of the world who are making, you know, this Shinnecock U.S. Open, you know, look tame relative to everybody else.
There's only one of those guys, though. It's DJ. Nobody else is making this place look tame.
Just today.
One guy.
Just today. But I'm saying, but today it's DJ.
Okay.
I mean, DJ's got 14 shots on Tiger right now.
He also won last week, too. He's going to become the first, if he wins, the first ever to win the event before the U.S. Open, which is amazing.
You're right. So in my belief, I don't think that Tiger has developed it enough, the mental side of it, the eye of the Tiger side of it.
Mental
side. To put it together 4 days in a row. You see it one. Maybe you see it too, but we haven't seen it four yet. And he can't win on tour not putting it together 4 days in a row the way he is playing now.
There's certain things that you just learn are inarguable.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said, that's pretty much inarguable because he's yet to do it this year. He has yet to put together four straight elite rounds that have propelled him.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Positive rounds. Four straight positive. Give me, you know, he's always got that one
hiccup, 75.
Man, what the heck was
that? I know. I get it. I've watched Tigers. I watch as much golf as anybody in this business outside of people who work exclusively for the Golf Channel. I watch probably too much golf. Let me ask you a question, though. John Rahm, you think he's a pretty good player?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like
no,
he's
is.
A. Okay. I need a little more enthusiasm because you're not going to support my case if you just say,
Well, I mean, he's good.
Give John Rahm the enthusiasm that John Rahm has earned.
But he's not like a five-time major winner.
But he very well might be. But you know that he's a prodigious talent.
No doubt.
Shot of 78 day one, shot of 77 day two. Peace out. You're not making the cut. You think John Rahm's pretty good?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
That's why I say the cyclical nature of golf. I can't. Adam Scott, who's had a lost year. By the way, a couple of majors, right?
Yeah.
Adam Scott, plus 13. Later, go back to Australia. Have fun hunting sharks and surfboard, whatever you're doing. Although he lives in Florida.
Yeah.
And I miss Adam Scott playing. I like watching him play. 78-75. What happened to him? It's golf. That's what's happened. Bubba Watson, 77 day one.
We knew this.
But he still has a couple of majors. True. He's one of the best on tour.
But this isn't a Bubba Watson event, right? Has he won an Open?
No, he has not won an Open. He hasn't won an Open. He'll never win an Open. I don't think he's ever going to win an Open.
Exactly. That's my point.
But he's still a world-class player. But they also said Phil Mickelson would never win the British Open, and he won one.
True.
So I guess we can be wrong. The point is, there are a multitude of high-level, great players with accomplished resumes who just came out and shot too many bogeys this week in Shinnecock, because guess what? It's not an easy course.
Yeah, it's tough.
Especially the wind's 14 miles an hour.
Yeah. It's toned down now, but
now Tiger teed off at 8:02 this morning.
Exactly.
I mean, listen, I really did think he would play better this week. I'd be lying to you and our audience, and I'm not in the business of doing that. I'm certainly not in the business of lying to myself. If I thought that he would be much more of a factor this week, much like I thought he'd be more of a factor at the Masters.
Yeah,
hasn't happened so far. That's the cyclical nature of the sport. Do I think that Tiger rebounds and plays well the PGA or at the Open Championship? Mm-hmm. I do. We can hit that stinger off the tee all day
overseas.
Where is
the Open Championship this year? Do we know? Where is it at?
Is it Carnoustie? Where is it? Maybe Mike could check that.
Yeah.
It might be Carnoustie, actually. It's Carnoustie.
Yeah.
Carnoustie. Boy, I pulled that one out, huh? It's the first European course that came into my head. Hey, Carnoustie. There you go. It's Carnoustie. I actually probably heard that song.
You haven't. It's because you haven't heard it in a long time. Carnoustie. That's why.
And he likes I believe he's wanted
That's
Carnoustie.
That's what I mean.
He likes Carnoustie. So
maybe.
Then you got the PGA. Okay, then you got the Ryder Cup.
If he goes to Carnoustie and shoots a 81,
he's not gonna shoot an 81.
I'm just saying, if he does, will you give it to me?
No, because it's still a cyclical sport. Everything I just said would be rendered meaningless if I just said, "Oh yes, if he shoots an 81, that's it." Like, to me, there's no. I don't know. I don't look at golf in a finite term. Like, there's a scoreboard because we keep track of what players do and how they shoot and how they perform clearly and where they stand on the grand stage and FedEx and everything that is, you know, that we count. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Phil Mickelson, there is just, haven't we seen enough players kind of disappear for a little while and come back with a vengeance? Right now, Jordan Spieth cannot putt. It was a year ago that he was pronounced by almost everybody that knows a lot more about golf than you and I do.
You're right.
One of the best golfers of all time.
Right. You're right.
He can't putt.
I know.
So, cyclical.
And he's not long either.
And he's not long, so that obviously amplifies his issues. I'm standing by Tiger Woods. I think he's going to win. I'm not happy. I want to see him this weekend. We won't. Tiger's still going to make it happen.
I'll skip beside the train.
All right. Marvin Bagley from Duke will join us coming up next. He's going to be a lottery pick. He's a stud. Looking forward to this conversation, which comes up next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so just about a week or so away from all eyes, all NBA eyes, being on the Barclays Center NBA draft coming up on Thursday, of course, in Brooklyn, about 7 miles from here. And this young man, you'll hear his name. You don't hear it first. You might hear it second, if not third. I don't think he gets past there. He is Marvin Bagley from Duke. Marvin, Tiki and Tierney, welcome to our show. How you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
Hey, how you doing? I'm good. I'm doing good.
You having fun?
Glad to be here.
Good. You having fun with the process so far?
Absolutely. It's been fun. It's been exciting. I'm just trying to take it one day at a time and, you know, enjoy it all.
Yeah, you know, at this point, we always ask these kids, like yourself, who are slated to go high, does it matter to you if you go number one? I mean, obviously the answer should be yes, but sometimes you don't want to go to the place that's picking number one. I'm not going to say any names, but you know what I mean. Do you want to go number one overall? Is that a respect thing? You can never live that down.
I mean, yeah, obviously you want to, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think it all depends on, you know, fitting into wherever you get drafted to. Obviously, you know, I'm a competitor. You know, you never want to be second, and that's not a knock on any teams in the draft. It's just my competitive spirit. So, like I said, at the end of the day, that's where I land, and you know, the amount of work that I'm willing to put in to, you know, to get better. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
You know, the one thing, because the trend is now, if you're talented enough, and clearly you are, go to college for a year and then obviously bounce to the NBA. You know, unlike when Tiki and I were growing up, we had a chance to watch players, you know, 2, 3, 4 years in some instances. So the entire nation, they know what you could do on the court, but they might not know you, you know, off the court too well. But I think it's important to let everybody know that Coach K has really raved about your high character, your motor, your passion for basketball. And I'm curious about this, because when you go to Duke, right, and you look around and there's 2 or 3 other freshmen who will go in the first round, how do you juggle the team concept but also making sure you get yours so you get drafted in a good spot?
Good question.
How do you do that?
Oh, you don't worry about it. You know, Coach does a good job of keeping everybody together and, you know, just worried about the now and not thinking about the future and worry about where you're going to end up. Or, you know, of course you want to succeed and play well and do well, but at the end of the day, we all wanted to win the national championship, and we didn't let any other outside talk, you know, come in between that. So I think, and, you know, just the way Coach was able to pull everybody together and you know, preach about the team, and it kind of helped us. And, you know, we were only worried about, you know, one thing, and that was winning.
Mm-hmm. There you go. More, not a surprise. That's what Duke student athletes mm-hmm. usually say. That's why they're recruited to go to Duke and play for Coach K, who's obviously one of the best of all time. Marvin Bagley is with us here. The draft is coming up just inside of a week in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, and a lottery pick. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Marvin, what did Coach K say to you when you told him, or it was announced that you were going to be leaving school and heading to the NBA? Does he give you advice? And what's his
to get me my 10%, Marvin?
he just told me to be myself. You know, I had a conversation with him before, you know, about it and about declaring, and he was very supportive of it. He understands it. You know, he's been around it for a while now, so he understands the whole thing. And he just supported me and like I said, just wanted me to be myself, stay the same, stay true to myself, you know, just keep going and keep getting better.
Marvin, you know what I've always been curious about? Because this recent trend, last couple of years, and obviously a lot of this is because of Steph Curry, who can drain 35-footers when he rolls out of bed. Big men, you guys all can shoot. You know, you stretch it out there, and I know you want to tighten up that shot a little bit, but obviously the framework is there for you to be a real effective three-point shooter. You're not a small guy by any stretch. When did you start feeling comfortable? At what age? Were you 11? Were you 13? Were you deep in high school? When did Marvin Bagley feel okay, you know, kind of wandering out to the three-point stripe and letting it go?
Ever since I was in fourth or fifth grade.
Wow.
I got on the team where I was able to expand my game, not only be on the block, but still handle the ball and, you know, push and rebound and do everything that you need to do in a basketball game. And I think that's where I got better and developed. And I just kept working on it from there, and that's what makes it kind of like second nature now, is where I can do it without feeling a little awkward. So I just kept working on it and then got better at it.
You know, Marvin, you've been through all the pre-draft stuff, the meetings and the combine, and you've met with scouts and I'm sure some coaches who have talked about your game. What do they tell you about the game in the NBA as opposed to what you played in college? And more importantly, what they're going to expect you to do? I mean, you're still a young man. You still have so much growing to do physically, I think, and basketball-wise as well. But what are they telling you as you get ready to head into a grown man's game as opposed to a college game?
They're just telling me, you know, just, you know, keep working. You know, the college games, I mean, the NBA is a lot different from, you know, college. And that's at every level. So it's about adjusting and, you know, being able to come in and help the team. And they just tell me a lot of different stuff. And I just try to take it all in and, you know, learn from each team that I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just try to keep continuing to grow and learn as much as I can.
There you go. That's how you do it. Marvin Bagley from Duke, of course, projected lottery pick in a little inside of a week on Thursday in Brooklyn Barclays Center. And, of course, named the National Freshman of the Year. First team All-American, by the way, AP, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Marvin, tell us about your Duke teammate, Grayson Allen. So many people have polarizing thoughts and opinions about him. How was he actually with you guys?
Grayson was a good teammate. You know, he was cool to be around. Very cool dude off the court. You know, always laughing, joking, making jokes about different stuff. He was a pretty good pretty good dude to be around. And I'm happy I got a chance to play with him and learn, you know, from him. He helped me a lot, especially coming in, him being there, you know, 3 years being through that and already have won the national championship. So just being able to learn from him and ask questions was a lot, was helpful, and it was good to get to play with him.
He didn't ever try to trip you when you were coming out of the shower, did he?
So what?
He didn't ever try to trip you when you were coming out of the shower, did he?
No, that ain't right, man.
I was kidding.
That ain't right.
I tell you one thing, Marvin. If you want to fit in with the rest of your young, if soon to be NBA brethren here, you gotta step up the social media game. This is a real outlier, Marvin. I'm on his Twitter page right now. He's not a real big time tweeter, which I actually like. It's refreshing.
Thank you for not being a big time.
Exactly. The last three tweets: March 28th, Marvin Bagley's verified account. I'd like to announce that I'm officially declaring for the NBA draft. That a boy you got to put out there. April 2nd, there's a set of eyeballs responding. He subtweeted or quote tweeted somebody else. And then he retweeted Chill Vibes on April 7th. Very innocuous, very, very benign. You're not into the social media game, which is a nice deviation from young kids today. Why is that? You don't seem too immersed in that world. It's interesting.
No, I am. I'm hitting a time where, you know, none of that is really important to me right now. Getting ready for the last thing you said was I declared for the draft, and you know, pretty much after that, it's been working and just getting better, and you know, just trying to make sure that I'm ready for this moment right now that's about to come. So I think that once I get a little bit of time to relax and breathe, you know, I'll get back to it. But you know, just as of right now, it's just not a priority right now. I understand that, and I'm just trying to, you know, focus on basketball and getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the other thing you got to focus on, though, Marvin, to get ready for the draft is your game, how you look.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We know you're going to have Pumas on because of the new deal that you're about to sign. But tell us what you have going on with JCPenney.
Like, you said that again. I didn't hear that last question.
What do you have going on suit-wise for draft day? What are you doing with JCPenney?
Got to look good.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing a custom – JF suit by JCPenney, and it's pretty special to me. It has a lot of things inside that mean a lot to me, and I'm excited about showing it on draft night.
I love it. When did you, you know, and Tiki can back me up on this. I love to ask young athletes who are about to walk up to a podium and realize a lifelong dream and get drafted and become a professional, whether it's football or obviously the NBA. But everybody's timeline is different. Not everybody that gets drafted in the first round believes or has that dream. Sometimes they stumble upon it a little later in life, or they grow later, develop at different rates. When did Marvin Bagley really believe in his heart, hey, the NBA, that's not just a pipe dream. This is going to be my reality. When did you think you could really do this?
I always had a high confidence in my game and my abilities. It first came in fifth and sixth grade, where I played against a lot of different talent and a lot of different players and across the country, and I saw myself, you know, getting better while I was traveling and doing that, and I took it serious, and I always had confidence in what I could do out there, and I just kept building on that, and it kind of got to a point where, you know, I just saw myself getting better, and I wanted to push and go to the NBA, and you know, like everybody else's dream, but you know, I just worked hard for it, and I'm just happy to finally be in this position, and I got to keep working.
You know, Marvin, I don't know if this is official. I mentioned it here, but the Puma deal, tell us why you decided to go with Puma. I mean, there's so many options out there with Under Armour and
Nike, Adidas,
Jordan Brand, etc. Sure. Puma is getting back in the game. Why did you decide to go this route?
I can't talk about that right now. I don't know where everybody's getting that from, but you know, we just gotta wait and see.
All right.
Well, that leaves the door for somebody to sneak in and outbid Puma if it's not officially done. Hey, listen, Marvin, enjoy the process. To reiterate, if you haven't seen him play a ton, and if you haven't, then you're probably not a college basketball fan, but NBA body, NBA skill set, big-time heart, big-time passion for the game, and a high-character young man. That's not just coming from Coach K, but other people who have seen Marvin and know Marvin. So we're looking forward to watching you grow, man. Thanks for hopping on, and really have fun the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Stuff. Where is he going to go? We'll find out in a little less than a week. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Still a lot of bogeys out at Shinnecock. We'll figure out with that what's going on there. The World Cup as well. Axe update just in time. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, step into the arena with CBS Sports Network as they bring you some top-notch AFL action. Don't miss the first place Baltimore Brigade kickoff against the Washington Valor. It's a good name, the Washington Valor.
That is a pretty cool name.
Strong name right there. On the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, that is us, CBS Sports Network. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio across the country. We'll get to football at the 40s in a couple of minutes. Get a couple of calls in the interim, see what's cooking.
Let's.
A lot of Kawhi Leonard residue. Jacob in California wanted to jump in. Jacob is on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Jacob, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Big fan of you guys.
Appreciate
you, man. Real quick, with this Kawhi news, of course, he lists the Lakers as his primary option that he wants to go to. But from my understanding, unless they were able to acquire him this summer with his cap hold at about $20 million, if they go ahead and get LeBron James and Paul George, they will not have the cap room next year to pursue him as a free agent. So essentially, the league needs to play keep away from the Lakers, and this is not the same thing that we've seen with Paul George, where we all knew he wanted to go to the Lakers, and the Lakers would have the cap room to get him.
This is not an easy mix. Yeah. I don't think anybody's suggesting that it is, Jacob, and I think that the one thing, and I know that what happened with CP3 back in the day. Thanks for the call, buddy. What happened with CP3?
Yeah, the league hasn't done that.
I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
But the Lakers almost always, like Miami, like Pat Riley in laying in the weeds. They always, the certain teams, just when you think that it's not really feasible for them to do whatever.
Yes, they find
there's always a way to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know if that applies to this situation per se, but the reason why I wouldn't rule it out, even if it seems a little far-fetched, LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard via trade, the other two obviously via free agency, is that the Lakers have some real assets.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Ingram's going to be a big-time scorer.
Some young players valuable, who are going to develop into good players, if they're in the right system, of course. But, yeah, the Lakers have pieces that people will desire, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's valuable.
Kuzma, I mean, Ball, I'm sure you get some varying opinions on Ball, but I mean, those are three names right there.
Yeah.
Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram, right off the shoot. Mike's in Pennsylvania. Mike's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And just piggyback on what you guys are saying right there, you have the young assets in Ball and Ingram to make a trade to get to Kawhi, to get to L.A. Well, Dang's got about $17 million. You could make money. Play guy at 26 years old, he'll find a way to get there. And once you shift Lonzo over to San Antonio, you get them a young piece. That slides LeBron in because he's the primary ball handler anyway.
Yeah.
He can't coexist with Lonzo because if LeBron's dribbling the ball everywhere, Lonzo can't shoot. There's no room for him. To me, it's just thinking two steps ahead. You can kind of see it starting to develop. George angle, I don't know enough about the cap, but who knows?
Yeah, no, you make a good point about Lonzo. Mike. I mean, we've seen LeBron too much over the last few years play with players who can't knock down shots when he needs them to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Lonzo is okay taking some shots when he was in college, but in the NBA, it was a struggle early. Started to get a little bit better as the season went on. And in fact, his averages weren't horrible relative to the other rookies in the league, but he doesn't shoot nearly well enough to be what LeBron would need off the ball. And so there is a disconnect that would happen if LeBron and Lonzo are on the same roster. That is guaranteed. And especially given that his dad is, I mean, can you imagine LeVar chirping once LeBron is on, if LeBron is on the Lakers?
Well, that's why I said, if I'm LeBron, I'm not going there if Lonzo's there.
Did
you see what, speaking of Mr. LeVar Ball, it's been out of the news for a while. Mm-hmm. How about this? He was asked, I guess he was doing a podcast. Where was this? This was on... He was on, I don't know whose show this is, Big Boy's Neighborhood.
I've never heard of it.
I don't know. And, hold on, let's see.
Is this about his wife?
No, not about that. I was going to skip over that. But this is more about basketball stuff.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, I guess the question was broached, you know, what can LeBron teach Lonzo? Mm. And LeVar actually had the audacity with a straight face to say, he ain't going to teach him nothing because I already taught him everything.
Come on.
That's what he said.
Come on.
I mean, even on the surface and its complete idiocy,
yeah.
Do you want to have to deal with that at the age of 33 if you're LeBron James?
Not at all.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
I would agree.
Take a hard pass.
Agreed.
Are you ready for football at the 40s, T?
Yeah, let's get to a couple
of these.
Let's do it.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
I think the bling is the thing. How about the Eagles hardware? Check this out. Are you kidding me? They've got the there's a waterfall of 127 diamonds on the bezel that pays tribute to the Philly special. All right, that represents the sum of the jersey numbers of the three players with Corey Clement, Trey Burton, and Nick Foles.
That's
that adds up
cool.
to 120. That's incredible, right? They've got, it's a 10-carat white gold ring, each containing a total of 219 diamonds. Wow. And 17 green sapphires.
Mm, that's cool.
That is a sweet.
Dude, every year they make these things
ring.
Look amazing.
Wow.
If you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, it's also out on our Twitter account, Santer.
Wow.
Those rings are amazing. They get better every single year. The cool thing about the Philadelphia Eagles rings is that underneath all the diamonds on the inside, it says underdog. And, you know, look, they were 13-3. Of course they weren't an underdog. But they were after Carson Wentz got hurt.
Home dogs in the playoffs to the Falcons.
They were home dog all the way through, BT. Two at home to the Falcons. I think it was three in the NFC Championship game against the Minnesota Vikings, also at home. And then in the Super Bowl, they started out as 5.5-point dogs to the New England Patriots. So they won the hardware, and they have all the right to – produce it as blingish as they want. Kudos, Eagles.
Yeah, no doubt. They've been waiting a long time to produce one of those things. You think Carson Wentz is ready for week one?
No.
You don't?
No. Nope.
Week four?
Yeah.
So he's playing by late September-ish.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that could be when Martavis Bryant is playing again as well, because if it adds up, there's a report now, the Las Vegas Review-Journal here, that the Raiders fear internally that Martavis Bryant, acquired from the Steelers in that trade, obviously, a little under the radar. Kind of, it's easy to forget about that with everything that's going on. Martavis Bryant's on the Raiders, and, you know, there's a thought that he may have once again run afoul of the substance abuse policy, and he could be facing discipline from the league, which would equate to another suspension. No final word yet, but there's a lot of fear inside the building that he's going to be missing some time.
Yeah, this is it's a shame because he's come so far. Obviously, he sat out 2 years ago, and when he came back, he wanted some burn. He wanted some catches with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which forced Mike Tomlin to basically marginalize him and put him on the bench for a couple of weeks. But then he actually became a really good contributor for this team down the stretch. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, but being unhappy and in a place that just didn't feel quite right, the Steelers did the right thing actually and moved him to a place where he could be of assistance. Unfortunately, now it looks like in Oakland they're gonna have to find some other people to pair with Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson, because once again, marijuana, cannabis gets the best of a young player.
We don't know that it's that.
We don't. It could be a missed test.
We don't
it could
know.
Be Adderall. Could be anything. But I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of assume.
Yeah.
And I don't
but
know.
But here's the thing, you know,
and he's not doing PEDs.
So but it could be a harder drug. I mean, it could be, you don't know. I mean, it could be anything.
These kids don't do hard drugs.
I hear, anymore. Yeah, I hope not, but you don't know. And, you know, not to be so literal here, but you said that he's come a long way. But if he failed another drug test, has he really come a long way?
It could be a missed test, though.
But I'm saying, if he's failed the drug test, has he really come anywhere?
It's right hard. Look, it's hard for me to rail on cannabis
I'm
use.
I'm just asking a question.
I know, but it's hard for me to rail on it. Because I believe that there are significant benefits.
So do I.
To
until
athletes.
You get pinched and the league says you can't smoke it anymore because it's
you're
illegal.
Right. And my only issue is that he's been caught now so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, you get caught to the point where you miss an entire season?
No, it's a professional responsibility. At some point, you got to put the blunt down and you can smoke as much weed as you want after you or once it's fully legal or once you retire.
You're right.
If you want to play in the NFL, you got to adhere to the rules.
I know.
Even if some seem antiquated, you know? I got you. This is crazy. So we talk about NBA free agency, and we have, obviously, Kawhi would be a trade, but LeBron, where's he going? What's going to happen with Paul George and all these other big names? Watch. Starting July 1st, and once the big names sign and the secondary and third figures start to sign their contracts, we'll see, like, fifth options get, like, $40 million guaranteed in the NBA. And here's the story from the Falcons. Dan Quinn said, this is the difference between the NFL and the NBA. Dan Quinn saying conversations are beginning on a new contract for Julio Jones, who's going to have to fight and scrap for every penny. He's the best, if not the second best, behind AB at his position in football. And this guy's got to fight and threaten not to show up to get a contract.
Yeah.
And scrubs in the NBA get $50 million guaranteed.
He's one of the top two wide receivers in the NFL. And if he's healthy, he's easily the top because he's so damn big and a mismatch for defenders. But he's currently the eighth highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League, making about $14.7 million, almost $15 million a year. And because of the franchise number and the fifth-year option number on some of these young kids, guys who are, I mean, can't hold his jockstrap are making more than him, Jarvis Landry being one of them, Sammy Watkins being another. So, I get it, man, and I'd be holding out too if I was him.
So would
I. And at least it sounds like the Falcons are going to do the right thing by him and, more importantly, by their team.
And their quarterback, who wants Julio Jones to get every penny to keep him happy and keep feeding the beast there. Okay, if I'm a Giants fan, and I'm not, I'm a Jets fan, but if I'm a big Giants fan, I'm sitting there saying, part of me loves this. Actually, almost all of me loves this story. Because you think about what has really swallowed up the Giants the last couple of years, and that's a lack of an offensive line.
Lack of attitude.
And attitude, which obviously is derived a lot from the big fatties up front. They draft this monster from UTEP in the second round. The kid's a beast. Yeah, he's an animal. Will Hernandez is his name. Gets into a fight with Snacks Harrison, who's a really good player, defensive lineman. Only problem is, one of their big offseason pickups, Nate Solder, another offensive lineman, actually got hurt as Snacks Harrison was trying to smash this kid in the helmet or in the head with his helmet. Here's Pat Shurmur, who stepped in, the Giants head coach. He assessed what went down. Here it is.
You know what? That's been very competitive the whole camp, and there's certain things that, certainly we can't do. Will Hernandez is a very competitive guy, and they just kind of butted heads.
I don't have much of a problem. I don't know about swinging the helmet. That's ridiculous.
My only problem, because look, injuries happen. It is what it is. Nate Solder, who was their free agent left tackle they picked up from the New England Patriots, and is really good. It's going to hopefully stabilize that front five. Got hurt a little bit in his knee. Nothing serious, but he got hurt trying to break up the fight. I have no problem with this at all, except for Snacks Harrison being an idiot and trying to hurt his teammate. I understand you get heated and you want to throw some punches. Do not swing a helmet at anybody, because if that connects,
you can kill somebody if you hit him in the right spot, for sure.
You're certainly going to knock him out or at least give him a severe concussion. That's just idiocy.
Yeah, that is. That's a good way to describe it. I'm with you on that. That you can't do. Interesting cut. Want to play this for you. Tom Brady discusses the anthem protest with Oprah. A little lengthy, but certainly worth it. Go ahead, guys.
There were a lot of really good, healthy conversations coming out of it in our locker room. I think, like I said, the great part about sports are the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in it for a long time. I've been with guys from all different parts of the country, every color, race, belief.
Background.
And you know what? You respect what other people, I do. I respect why people are doing what they're doing. And they're doing it for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You can do things for your reason. They can do things for their reason, and you have respect for that. But I thought it was great.
Were there healthy conversations? Did you all have conversations about it?
Yeah, we had meetings after practice. We support what people are going through. I've been playing sports long enough. Everyone comes from something different. And I think showing respect for everybody is, in a locker room of team foot guys trying to go the same direction, you better have that empathy for everybody. That's what sports are about.
Now, the elusive, sensible take on the anthem situation by Tom Brady.
It's good.
Nice job.
I'm glad that a quarterback, particularly a white quarterback, actually talked positively about this and didn't just dodge the question like so many other people want to do. They don't want to be – it's polarizing. They don't want to be on the wrong side. They don't want to be vilified because they're standing up for people's rights.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Tom Brady.
Well, how many players have said that if a white player doesn't weigh in, that it renders, not that it renders it insignificant, but it doesn't carry the weight if white players at least don't join in.
Which is why Chris Long has been such a unbelievable force in this movement that's been primarily African-American. Chris Long has permeated that and has become the lone, strong white voice for this issue that NFL players have been espousing for the last year and a half.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Right. And we also know one thing about Tom Brady. He's not going on Oprah unless he gets all the questions in front of him. So he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It's not like he was
Oprah. He was well prepared
for
that.
What are you hitting me with here, Oprah? Come on. That's not how it's been. I think all the questions are scripted from Jim Gray as well when he does that thing. Hey, Shaq is coming up this hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.